Well, I'd like us this evening for a little while to think about what it means to enter the kingdom of heaven and become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what it means to become a Christian. Now, it would be really good this evening if as many people as possible could have their Bibles open at the passage that we just read. Luke chapter 14, Naomi started to read and verse 25, she read through to the end of verse 33, and I can't remember the page number in the church Bible, so would someone shout it out? 1048, thank you, Samuel. Well, you can see from verse 25 that there were large crowds travelling with Jesus. And I think a lot of these people were thinking very carefully about becoming disciples of Jesus. These people wanted to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus in these verses says, look, I want to tell you a number of really important things. Let me tell you a number of important things that you really need to think carefully about. And the first thing I think that Jesus says in this little paragraph is that if anyone would follow Jesus, they must be willing to put him first in everything. Now, I've got a question. What does the word everything mean? It's not a difficult question, and I wouldn't mind this evening if you simply said everything. The reason I ask the question is because I want us to just stop and just think carefully about what Jesus is saying. Can we have the first picture, please, up on the screen? Now we all would have things in life that we would consider to be important, wouldn't we? And here might be some of the things that we would consider to be important. Our family, our home, our holidays, or perhaps our sporting activities, or our family pets. We could add lots of things to what's up there. But if we would become a Christian, if we would be a disciple of Jesus, then we must be willing to put Jesus before everything. What does the word everything mean? It means everything. Now, I want you for a moment to look with me at verse 26. Now, I think that this is quite a difficult verse in the Bible to understand. And it causes lots of people problems. But we'll try to understand what Jesus is saying. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's a bit of an alarming verse, isn't it? Is Jesus saying that if we're going to become a Christian, if we're going to become a follower or a disciple of Jesus, then we've got to really hate those who belong to our family? Well, that would seem a very strange thing, wouldn't it, for Jesus to say? And that would be something that we would find extremely hard to do. I mean, we may not find it too difficult hating our brother or our sister. But we'd find it very difficult, wouldn't we, in all seriousness, to hate our family. Actually, when we read the Bible, God emphasizes the importance of loving our neighbor. And our neighbor is everybody. Actually, the Bible teaches us that we should honor our mum and dad. Actually, the Bible teaches us that we should really love with all our heart those who belong to our family. So what's Jesus saying here? It seems to be very strange. And I think the only way to understand verse 26 is to appreciate what the word hate really means. Because you see, And I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you why I believe that this is so, but I believe that the word hate means here to love less. So what Jesus is saying is that if we would become a disciple of his, we must love him so much that our love for those in our family is less than that. I think that's what Jesus is saying. So yes, love your family, but love Jesus even more, because Jesus has to come first in absolutely everything. Now, I want to tell you a story that I read a long time ago, and I think that this story really helps to make the point. There was a lady who lived in another country where they persecute Christians. Some countries, you know, they put Christians into prison. Sometimes they treat them really badly. They put them to death. Well, this lady, because she loved the Lord Jesus with all her heart, had been put into prison. Now, she had a son. And one day the authorities brought her son to the prison, and they said this. They said, if you stop loving Jesus, if you give up on Jesus, then we'll let you go home with your son. But if you refuse to stop loving Jesus, if you won't renounce Jesus, then you're going back to prison, and you will never see your son again. Now, it was something that was really difficult for this lady. Shall I tell you why? Because she loved her son, and she loved the Lord Jesus. And she had to make a decision as to who she loved the most. And she recognized that she was to love Jesus more than she was supposed to love her son. So don't misunderstand me here this evening. She loved her son, but she loved Jesus more. And therefore, she went back to prison, and she never saw her son again. And the real tragedy of the story is that her son didn't want to know her again. But she did the right thing, didn't she? Because she loved Jesus more. And this is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, then you've got to put me first in everything. Let me tell you another story. In fact, you can very quickly, if you like, turn over to Luke in chapter 18. And if you look at verse 18, there you will see a little title above verse 18 entitled the rich young ruler. Now this man, this wealthy young man, he came to Jesus one night. And he wanted to know how he could inherit eternal life. In other words, he wanted to know how he could enter into the kingdom of heaven. He wanted to know how he could be saved. And this wealthy young man talked about how he had kept the various commandments of God. And Jesus said to him, look, you lack one thing. Go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. I've got a picture here. Go back one, if I can. Oh, no, there we go. Look, there's Jesus talking to the rich young ruler. This man was unwilling to go and sell all that he had in order that he might give it to the poor. Do you know why? Because he loved his money so much that he wanted to hold on to it. In fact, he loved his money more than he loved Jesus. He wanted his money more than he wanted to follow Jesus. He wasn't willing to put Jesus first in everything. Therefore, the Bible says that he went away sad. That's a really sad story. Why should we put Jesus first in everything? Well, quite simply because of who he is. He's Lord, he's God, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. I want to read to you some verses in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And these verses are speaking about Jesus. It says here that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Or so that he might have the preeminence. All the glory, all the praise, all the worship is supposed to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to enter the kingdom of God, and that is through the Lord Jesus, or through the narrow door. But Jesus is the narrow door. If we would enter through the narrow door, we must be willing to receive or to trust in Jesus Christ as our Saviour and our Lord, or our King. Just one little thought before we sing again, because Jesus, it seems to me, rounds up this little thought in verse 27. So let's turn back to Luke 14 and read what Jesus says in verse 27. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. I think I've got a picture here, yes, of a man carrying his cross. Well, 2,000 or so years ago, Jesus was to be found carrying his cross. Where did Jesus carry his cross to? Can anybody tell me? Well, it was to the place of crucifixion. Jesus was nailed to this cross, and there upon this cross he died. And the reason he died upon the cross was so that people could be saved from their sins. And I'll say a little bit more about that in just a little while. Actually, Jesus didn't carry his cross all the way to the place of crucifixion, because physically he was too weak to do so. And therefore a man by the name of Simon had to carry it part of the way. But what did it mean for Jesus to carry his cross? Well, basically, by carrying his cross, Jesus was submitting himself completely and unreservedly to the will of his Father. You see, the will of God the Father was that he should die upon the cross as a sacrifice for sin. Now, who would want to die the death of Roman crucifixion? No one. And Jesus knew how terrible it would be. And yet, he had resolved to do what his Father wanted him to do. We too are to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we go out into the shed and nail some big bits of wood together so that we can carry our cross over our shoulders each day as we make our way to school or to college or to work or whatever. That's not what it means to carry our cross. What it means to carry our cross is this, that we say we're going to live every day for the Lord Jesus. That we're going to do what he wants us to do rather than what we want to do. It's an act, if you like, every day of self-denial. Lord Jesus, it's not about me, it's all about you. And isn't it challenging what Jesus says? And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be a follower of me. Well, the first thing to say from this passage tonight then is that we must be willing to put Jesus before everything if we would enter into the kingdom of God and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Now, I've got a question. Do we think that following Jesus is easy or difficult? Is it demanding or not very demanding? Well, when we look at the Bible, it tells us that it's not easy. Living the Christian life can be very, very difficult. In fact, for some Christians, in some parts of the world, it's extremely difficult. It's not a bed of roses. It's the best way to go. It's the way of joy to follow the Lord Jesus. There's no better way to go, but it's not easy. It's difficult. The way is narrow and windy. It's not easy or big or wide. And therefore, if we would become a disciple of Jesus, if we would become a Christian, we need to count the cost. We need to stop. We need to sit down and think about what it means to follow Jesus. We need to think carefully about whether actually we're willing to follow Jesus all the way through life, however difficult it might be. You see, we want to make it to the end. We don't want to start out with Jesus and then find it's too tough and then turn away from him, because that would be a tragedy. Indeed, that would be a very serious thing indeed. Now, if you come back to your Bibles again, you will see that Jesus tells a little story. A very short story. We might call it a parable. It's there in verses 28 and 29. Let me read these two verses to you. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." I don't know what kind of tower Jesus was speaking about here. The Bible doesn't say, though some of the commentators think that Jesus may have been referring to the kind of tower that would have been built in a vineyard. Why would you build a tower in a vineyard? Well, so that you could look out to see if anybody was coming along in order to steal your grapes. Can you imagine a man starting to build a tower and very quickly finding out or discovering that he hadn't got enough money to complete it? Or can you imagine today someone embarking upon building a nice house to live in getting up to a certain level only to realize that they haven't got enough money to complete the building? Well, that person would look ever so silly, wouldn't they? I mean, we might call them a bit of a banana if we were to be really unkind. No, if you're going to build something, you've got to make sure that you've got enough resources to complete the building. Well, Jesus is saying to all his hearers, he's saying to us tonight, look, living the Christian life isn't straightforward. It's not easy. I will help you if you embark upon living the Christian life. In fact, I'll be to you all that you need. But it isn't easy. And therefore, you need to stop and think about what it means to follow me. You need to count the cost. Because it's so important that you follow me all the way through to the end of your life. We need to count the cost. But thirdly and lastly this evening, although it's difficult, we must follow Jesus. We must become a disciple of Jesus. And this thought, I think, is emphasized in another little story that Jesus told and applied. Look at verse 31 and verse 32. Let me read it. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. I think I've got another picture here. that's of an army. Well, imagine a king has an army of 10,000. But there's a king that's coming his way, and the idea is that they're going to end up fighting with one another, who has 20,000. Now, the one with 10,000 men needs to stop and think pretty quickly, doesn't he? Because he's only half as strong. Or if we put it the other way around, the other king is twice as strong as he is, and he will easily overcome him and defeat him. What's he to do? Well, what he needs to do, as Jesus' story or parable tells us, is send a delegation as quickly as possible in order to bring about a peace treaty. Indeed, he needs to do everything possible so that this king doesn't attack him and overcome him. Indeed, it may well mean that he needs to surrender himself and his people to them completely. But the important thing is that a peace treaty is established. Just over a year ago, I was asked by the village if I would lead a little service up at the memorial. On Remembrance Sunday, there's often a little group, I say a little group, there's about 100 people, that gather around the memorial next to the cricket pitch in order to remember those who have been affected by warfare. I gave a little thought on that occasion, and I was basically saying this to the people that were there. That if we don't know the Lord Jesus, we're enemies of God. Now, after the service, there were quite a lot of people who came to me and said, that was a really lovely service. And that surprised me, because I thought that there were going to be some people rather upset and wanting to complain. Because, you see, I spoke about people being an enemy of God. And people, generally speaking, don't like that sort of thing being said. But you know, boys and girls and older friends, this is what the Bible teaches. It teaches us that we are God's enemies. You see, we do things in our lives. We sin, we break God's commandments. And these things are an offense to God. We want to go our own way. We don't want to go God's way. He's not our friend. He's our enemy. But actually, it works the other way as well. And not everybody realizes this. You see, it's not just a case of us being God's enemy. God is our enemy if we're not a Christian. See, because we sin, God is hostile towards us. And the Bible says that there's coming a day when God, in the person of Jesus, will come and judge this world. He's like the king with 20,000 soldiers. In other words, he's ever so strong. And there's no way that we can stand before God, because we're just not strong enough. We're rather like the king with 10,000 men. And therefore, we need to make peace with God really, really quickly. Even if that means surrendering our lives to him. Now, how do we find ourselves at peace with God? Well, we can't sweet talk God. That just won't work. We can't try to do lots of good things, because that won't work either. You see, there's nothing that we can do. But the good news is this, that God has done something. God has done something in the person of his Son. God sent his Son Jesus to die upon the cross in order to take away the sin of all those who will receive Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. And once the barrier of sin has been removed, well, then God and man can be friends. God and man can be reconciled. They can be at peace with one another. So whilst it may be difficult to follow Jesus, whilst we may have to put Jesus before everything in our lives, and that may prove extremely challenging, we must come to Jesus and trust in him and follow him, because it's only Jesus who can enable us to be reconciled with a holy God. And we don't want to meet him as our enemy when he comes on that great and final day, because we won't be able to stand. So Jesus here is speaking to these people who want to follow him, they want to become his disciple, they want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but Jesus is saying, look, if you want to become my disciple, you've got to put me first in everything. If you want to become my disciple, then it's going to be costly, and you need to count the cost. If you want to become my disciple, well, then you need to stop, and you need to think about it. But you must become my disciple. You must receive me as your Lord and as your Saviour. We must all receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Saviour. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes it seems that people fall into the trap of thinking that we can know Jesus as Saviour without knowing him as Lord. But we cannot divide Jesus. He is the Lord, Jesus Christ. And how strange, how futile it is to want to be saved from sin whilst at the same time being unwilling to give up the sin and wanting to live our own way and not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, we must come in repentance and faith. Thank you for your word then to us this evening that has made these things clear to us. Help us to recognize as Christians here tonight that there was a day when we surrendered our lives completely and unreservedly to the Lord Jesus. Oh God, forgive us when we go back on our promise. Help us in the coming days to surrender our lives completely, totally and utterly to you, to be willing to give up everything, if that's what it means, in order to follow you. Lord, we recognize that there is a cost in following Jesus, but may we all be willing not only to count the cost, but to walk, to follow wherever you would lead us. But Lord, impress upon each and every one of us this night the importance of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, of walking with him as a disciple. For we must be at peace with God. We must be reconciled to God. Well, how else shall we stand on that great and final day? Lord, we've given thought to some quite solemn things here tonight. Maybe some of us have struggled to get our heads around some of these things. But Lord, if there's just one little thought, perhaps, that we can be left with tonight, we pray that you would impress that thought upon our minds. Hear then our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.